I'm assuming that means that it's time to start the show, the giant feedback loop. Sorry, we've been having some technical difficulties. We have some folks in the studio today and one person online, and our video conferencing thing kept breaking out, so we kind of had to struggle a little bit to get things started here. But good morning. It's a Monday, and apparently this is how Mondays usually go. So here we go. We're going to do a business Monday today on the Lowdown. Thanks for tuning in. It's a new week. It's sunshiny, and it's beautiful outside. And hopefully we're going to be able to bring a little light and a little joy into your lives about some of the businesses that are operating in town. One from Sarah Culbertson was in about a month or so ago. Was that how long it was, Sarah?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it must have been at least a month ago. We're talking about the frame shop. Melissa is in from the Islander Bookshop for the first time to talk about how things are going there. And Natasha Priestess is in to talk about the Beartown Market and how the Beartown Market has chosen to operate. If you have questions, please shoot us an email to lowdown@kmxt.org or call 486-3181 and ask one of these fine ladies a question about how things are going. So I think first we'll start out with you, Melissa, since you haven't been in before, and you have kind of a big kind of fun operation. Not saying that yours isn't, Natasha, but, you know, people were really, really excited about having a bookstore in town again. And, you know, you had all kinds of really fun things going, and now the COVID's hit and your whole world is sort of imploded, and you're sort of trying to scramble to get things back going. Is that kind of an accurate assessment of how your world is?
Yes, and that's quite a earful for a Monday morning, but that is the truth. So I worked with Alaska Small Business Development Center for about 4 months on the business plan last year, and really looking at different models for how a bookshop can be profitable and keep going, especially in a small town where shipping's an issue, et cetera. And came up with what had been proving to be a pretty successful model with the workshops, events, pop-ups supporting other local artists, giving them a place to showcase their goods in town also. And then COVID hit, and for various reasons, I've scaled back just to selling books. And that is a difficult business model to make work.
Yeah. Well, you're competing against the big boxes, and you're competing against an online market. So it's how do you make a business like that part of the community? Because we've had bookstores in Kodiak, and people have really grown fondly attached to them over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, so you knew that there was a market here for it, right?
Right.
And then you do all the legwork to get it going, and all of a sudden you're back to a place where you can't be that community organization anymore.
Right.
So, man, what do you start to do when in February and March then when you start realizing, boy, things are going to have to shut down. How am I going to continue operating my business now?
Mm-hmm. What has been fortuitous is that the American Booksellers Association in January launched a beta site called bookshop.org, and it was created to help small independent bookstores across the nation be able to compete with Amazon. And it's wild. I signed up for it right away, you know, just thinking, oh, this will be nice. I can slowly grow an online presence for the shop. Well, I leaned into it really heavily in March, and then I started seeing sales. So everybody who normally came into the shop to special order a book shifted to online. And then I shared it with friends and family in the lower 48, and they started telling people. So I have seen a growth in the online, and people really like, it seems like they like being able to order books, a vast selection of books. They know they're still supporting a local business, so they can walk in with their kids and browse books and get that experience, but they can also safely shop online and support a local business at the same time. It's amazing that all of that coincided at the same time to help small bookstores.
Yeah. Well, you already had started a little bit, so you've kind of built up a fan base in the community, right? And you probably have a lot of partners in the community too, right?
Oh, that's what is wonderful about Kodiak, is that we work closely with a lot of other, you know, local vendors, And just like on Thursday, the Kodiak Harvest Co-op is doing a pop-up produce stand outside the shop. And they let me know they're rotating among different businesses to kind of bring awareness to other shops. And so Thursday is the bookstore's opportunity. And the partnerships or collaborations, like we love to feature Natasha's work in the shop.
And everybody does.
Yeah. So, but
I'm
it's
really fortunate.
That's what's wonderful about our town is we're not alone in this.
Yeah. So did you just shut down immediately? I mean, there was how did you face that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It was a little surprising how it all happened. Started to see a decrease in sales in late February, early March. It's dropping pretty steadily. And then the employees started to grow concerned about being in the shop. And so I was starting to lose employees just because, you know, everything was so new. We didn't know much about the virus. And then I have two little kids at home, a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so that I tried to put them in the back of the shop with the masks and, an iPad, which is hard for me to say when you own a bookstore. But and my little kids just it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I had to close sooner and stay closed longer than I had wanted to.
So because of that, the online bookstore anti-Amazon thing that you started to go through, had you already kind of kicked it into gear, though, doing online sales before you had started to close?
No, I think I signed up for it to make sure I could get in on that beta, but I didn't open up the online site until March 18th.
Ah. And how are things going?
Very good. There are not enough, you know, to keep more than one employee, but it's a fantastic supplement to the brick and mortar shop where sales are still very, very low.
Yeah. Well, because you are sort of limited open now, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the hours and all the data on Square, which lets me know when are peak times. And I think I'm shifting more towards a Saturday-Sunday opening and massaging the hours so that I can be open at the times when people feel most comfortable coming in.
Uh-huh. Is it then by appointment only or your limited hours? How does that work?
We do have our mask-only limited entry shopping for 2 hours. I'm going to shift that to Wednesday mornings. But that a lot of people have been grateful for that time to shop, and I think other businesses in town are doing that too.
Is this, I must be misunderstanding here. So there is another time, there's mask-only shopping, and then there's maskless shopping?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there was some folks in the community who, are concerned about shopping in more crowded environments. So I received a request for mask only shopping.
Okay.
For some folks who are more exposed to the virus or,
yeah,
more at risk.
So at a high point, you were at 6 employees plus yourself.
Yes.
And then you went down to one.
One,
which was you.
I tried for it to be me to save money for the shop.
Yeah.
I was paring down on all expenses, but I just can't do it with my kiddos.
Yeah, right.
So I've taken the risk and hired back an employee so the shop can be open more hours. I have a fantastic gal who works there. Really trust her, and she's wonderful with customers.
So the other 4 then are just waiting until things kind of revive?
Or they've chosen to do something different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty difficult. The events that you kind of started kicking off that, you know, you're trying to expand your business, you're trying to do all of these fun things for the community to get people involved in the bookstore and what you do, those all go away, huh?
For the foreseeable future, yes. Just, I think, in part because the square footage of the shop is so small.
Yeah. Is there, are you trying to do more online things like other businesses do to try and sort of get people involved?
Mm-hmm. I had thought about that, but there are a number of workshops in town. Like, I've taken Marion Owen's gardening classes. They're phenomenal.
Yeah.
And she's doing these free of charge. And it's not something, an area in which I want to compete, because I think folks are doing a great job already. I love taking those workshops.
Yeah. So why spend your hours and your time trying to recreate something when there's other people in the community already doing it that are your natural partners anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to be a good neighbor.
Natasha, Beartown Market, a huge part of the community for, I can't remember how many years it's been going for.
I know it's gone through a few iterations over the years.
Normally, we sort of associate the Beartown Market with the arrival of the cruise ships. So that's got to immediately, you got to immediately start going, well, we're not going to have any cruise ships. What are we going to do now?
Right. So in years past, Beartown's been completely centered around summertime visitors. But we've also discovered that Kodiak's been really, really supportive of Beartown, whether they're shopping for themselves or bringing visitors. So it's been a really good mix of locals and visitors when we've had live events downtown with vendors.
Well, you always sent it out. You know, there's a cruise ship coming on Tuesday morning at such and such a time. So you probably got a core group of people who go down there as part of the Beartown Market crew to set things up. And then normally there's, what, 15, 20, 40 different artists? It varied a lot.
Well, it did vary over the years. The last 3 years, I think we've had between 12 and 18 at the max vendors, and we've been downstairs at the convention center.
Right.
But we had to sort of evolve it and revamp and try to come up with a new idea for the season.
But your marketing in the last couple of years has been, you know, Kodiak focused, that this was this is your opportunity to go down and see what Kodiak artists are doing, come support the community. And that, I think, was an intentional move on your part to get more locals to come down and participate too, right?
Well, it is, and we've found that locals are really supportive of one another, like Melissa and Sarah, like we've all been saying, that people really support other entities and other organizations in town. So we've had great luck with locals bringing friends and, like, having, like, the same people show up each week to say hi because they're downtown getting coffee and they want to stop by. So, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing as going to the farmers markets, right?
Definitely.
It was a community thing to do whenever the cruise boat came. So now you're in a position where, well, even if the cruise boat didn't come in and you wanted to have a Beartown Market because of the restrictions on distancing and everything else, you can't do that kind of thing safely. So what went through your brain then of, let's do the Beartown Market in a box?
Well, I was inspired by my produce box. So I decided that might be a fun thing to do. And we're hoping, if this sort of initial Beartown in a box, in collaboration with the Kodiak Arts Council, they've been a huge support for us to get this organized.
What do they have to do with you?
Well, they're supporting art in Kodiak. So they've been doing behind the scenes. We're using their website to make sales. So that's where the money's going through. Katie's helping us with advertising, posting it on her website. So,
but was that a normal part of your collaboration in the past?
It has not been. But the Kodiak Arts Council is there sort of as an umbrella organization for a variety of different groups in town. And so we thought that would be a natural fit to ask for some guidance from her.
Okay, so what's your core group made of? Who are the principals in the Beartown Market?
Well, it does shift and change. We've got 12 to 16 vendors. Sharon Kennedy has been there for years. She's recently moved off island. Maggie Delaman, Annie Poirier, who started it years ago. Debbie Clifford. I'm like, in my head, I'm like trying to go around the room and see who's in there. RK Leather, Janet Wente, Maggie Delaman. I think I'm repeating myself at this point, but it has been sort of an evolving and changing group of artists. If some people can't make it 1 week, then we have a waiting list and other people will.
Okay. So
in.
I'm trying to picture this. Okay. You got the, excuse me, your produce, sorry, coffee is going the wrong way. You've got your produce box in front of you. and this flash goes through your mind, Beartown Market. So then do you call the other people in the Beartown Market?
Well, I did. I emailed Maggie Delman and I emailed Katie at the Arts Council and said, like, what could we do? Could we somehow recreate, you know, Artist in a Box or Beartown Market in a Box or Beartown Market in a Bag, and each month have, you know, like different produce, like different crafts or different art or different products that are made here in town locally, still sort of promoting it as a made in Kodiak box.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of those little boxes you get for your kids that are like every month it's something new.
Right, like a subscription box. So that's sort of our fantasy, is that if this sort of initial one takes off, then we could do it, you know, several more times during the summer, featuring, you know, different products and people from the Beartown Market.
That's marketable off-island, too.
Well, it is. We have some off-island orders, so we've added shipping to it. So people go onto the Kodiak Arts Council website, and they click purchase, and they can either pick it up here locally next Saturday, or they can ship it off-island.
So have you've done online marketing?
Yes. Well, in the sense that Maggie Delman's a wizard at like putting things on Facebook and Instagram. So we've done our social media blitz, and Katie at the Arts Council has it on the website. And yeah, it's going from there. It's a limited edition, 35 boxes, and we're hitting the halfway mark. So we're pretty excited that people are responding so well.
So you're limiting it, though, to 35, 40 boxes. That's it. If that's all you're going to give out the first time it happens.
Right. So we want to be able to give our artists and makers sort of a quantifiable amount, right? Like, we can't just ask them to come up with 100 things like the day before we need to deliver boxes. So we were able to say 35 boxes, give us 35 items, and go from there.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You should see my downstairs table filled with boxes and packing material.
You're just like the grocery lady. I know.
It must be what it looks like behind the scenes at the produce box.
So the produce, right. So are you seeing from outside people with former connections to Kodiak that are buying these boxes? Is that?
Yeah, it appears to be like extended family or people who used to live in Kodiak who were like, oh, we totally want stuff that represents Kodiak. So.
Right. And then it saves you the trip on the ferry, right?
Well, and a lot of people aren't going to be coming to visit, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. So Beartown Market might have been a place that you'd take your family that comes to visit this summer, but you can't. But you can send them a box.
Well, let's talk a little bit to Sarah before we keep, you know, you're here, so let's talk to you. But you're not on the, I can't see you, so I don't know why I just turned around. This is a Monday. Sarah.
I'm in the midst.
You're in the midst. So from a month and a half ago when things were sort of slowly starting to change for you, where are you at right now?
So we got our online store going, and that really kind of carried us through March. It took all of March to kind of get that up and running. And then April, we started seeing some sales through our website, which was great. We opened up in April with masks. So we're following our mitigation plan, and we are wearing masks at work, and we're asking our customers to wear masks when they come in. I think it's just a good idea, especially with a huge influx of new people coming into town. It just makes sense. And we had a little soft opening event that we did pretty well at. Like, I was really happy to see people out. It was cool to drive down the road and see the food trucks and other stores doing their thing. So that was really, it was a confidence booster for me. I was really happy to see that and see that we could work together to kind of get people out and make them feel comfortable, you know, and have an outdoor event. And so, like, right now we have the Coast Guard transfer season is usually a big season for us, even without the Crab Fest and the women's show, which was a big hit to our bottom line. So right now we're kind of riding that wave until that's over, and then we'll really be able to tell how things are going to look this year. So we're having another solstice event coming up this weekend. We're going to try and do it during the week because I know people are getting out on the weekends and hiking, and we're doing a treasure hunt. We had a few friends hide different treasures all over the island on different trails, so that's kind of fun.
Is this you personally, or is this part of the local group that did the pop-up event a couple weeks ago?
So I kind of suggested it, and then we ran with it. And the solstice, I did ask other business owners if they wanted to participate. I didn't get much response, so I'm just doing our thing right now, and maybe in a month or two, people will be ready to try another outdoor event. But in the summer, we usually do a Wednesday art market and in the middle of the month. So we'll probably continue on with that this summer because outdoor shopping right now, a little more, people feel a little safer about that, I think.
Well, it seemed like there were a lot of people on the streets when you had that open thing on Saturday.
Yeah, I was really excited about it. We actually, I talked to a lot of people. I sent out a little survey on our Kodiak Small Business Forum and just asked which days were busier for people. And I think during the week was the busiest time for shop owners for that participated. In the weekend, it slowed down because people were out, hiking and camping and doing what they do in the summer.
So, Melissa, do you do any outdoor events, or do you have anything planned? Nothing like that.
No, I think it's partially because of my location. So
yeah.
I try to be careful about that with other businesses near me. And it's kind of hard to move.
Yeah.
A lot of books.
But you share a space there, Sarah. Has that been problematic at all?
We share space with the Great Alaska Flooring Company, and we have a little bit bigger space to work with when it comes to moving things outside. The only problematic, the only issues I've run into is they were considered a essential business, so they stayed open, but we're not required to wear masks because of that. And so now we're kind of running into the issue that I'm asking my customers to wear their masks into the building, but the flooring shop does not require that. So it's worked out okay because we have a separate space, showroom space.
Right.
So we have about 12 feet in between and a barrier in between our two shop tables or showroom tables. So when people come in, they go over for the Great Alaska Flooring Company, they are wearing a mask or they're not, depending on their how they're feeling about this whole situation. And then we have our customers on our side wearing masks.
Huh.
So it's been interesting. It's definitely a sign of our time, I feel like.
Does it limit the browsing? I mean, I know probably a lot of times you get cross traffic when people go in to look at flooring and then they their eye gets caught by something on the other side. So
when it comes to that, if I have a customer in the shop, we don't allow anybody else into my little showroom space. But if there's nobody there, they're welcome to browse. Like Melissa was saying, there was a request put out on Facebook that we have limited hours for mask-only shopping, and that's something we're kind of thinking about how to do that with the situation we're in with our partner, building partner.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of talk in general with all three of you a little bit about the what this has done to you for income, you know, and how you're all managing to deal with that. You know, I would imagine this is maybe not primary income for a lot of the artists in town, but it's probably a fairly big subsidy during the summertime when the cruise ships are coming, right?
For Baritone Market, definitely in person and engaging with people has always been, you know, like how it happens or how you build relations for any of us. Like it's how you build relationships with people who will become your customers.
Yeah.
We thought about the Baritone in a box as just a way to keep Baritone in people's minds. But as an individual artist, like it has to be online or over the phone or, you know, like building on connections I might have had in the past and trying to find new people.
And that's a huge part of selling your art, is creating that connection with people so they feel connected to the art and you, I think.
And that's hard to do online.
It is. And for any of like for any of us sitting here, like I think Sarah and Melissa have been really incredible in how they've had these variety of things that they've done, whether now it's like has to go online, but you know, collaborating with different artists or having people in the shop or having different people's work there. It's like Kodiak's always been really supportive, I think, of like individual artists or makers as well as different businesses, different brick and mortar shops. I feel like Kodiak's pretty inventive.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, on that end, I know that if we're looking at this for another year, then I need to find a unique way to augment my business plan. So I've signed up for two online courses, one in email marketing and website development, SEO optimization, and then another one on marketing as well, because I realize, oh, I've got to retool really fast. Because my background is all education, and I did all the work about learning all the research about a brick and mortar shop, but now I got to go online. So that's how I'm trying to address this, is lean in really hard for a couple of months, re-educate myself, expand the options for the business, and hope that that can carry me through.
Yeah.
But I think like Mike mentioned earlier, like having built connections around town and, you know, like building your fan base in town. Well, I think that can translate online as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine though that for you, I see a lot of joy in you about the bookstore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep the joy in it?
Oh, right. Well, I look at it as a necessary thing I have to do, the online portion, while there's not the joy there. If that is what I need to do in order to keep a brick and mortar store here, then that's of course what I'll do. There's nothing like the feeling when a family walks in, and I won't say their names, but I can see them right in front of me. And, you know, I see the kids' eyes light up because I designed that wall in the back with all the children's books to inspire little kids. And I want to keep that for our town. Like, I built the shop that I wanted my family to be able to go into. And so I don't. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Melissa, go on.
I don't mind doing the online part. Oh, I'll let you go. I'm sorry.
I have to say, when we visited your shop, Rosalie and I visited your shop, we were inspired to build our own reading corner for Rosalie in our house.
Oh, I love that.
Cool. So, again, so you got that missing from the online presence, though, right? So, for instance, do you like engage with the, I don't know how many book clubs there are in town. There must be hundreds of them. but I would imagine you're an essential resource for a lot of them, right?
Yes.
And how do you continue that relationship? Are you on the phone a lot more now?
Oh, yeah, on the phone. Facebook Messenger, Instagram Messenger, email. People reach out all sorts of ways. They'll even, on the trail at Spruce Cape, somebody's like, oh, hey, I want to order this entire set for my child. And I say, great, I'll get it coming. I'll text you.
Uh-huh.
So orders come in all different ways.
Well, and I have to say, you've been really receptive that receptive that way, too. I thought, well, I need to order a book. Like, how do I get a hold of them? And I email, and she's like, yep, we can do that. So, yeah.
So what are the artists in town doing to, like, collaborate on things?
Well, I think people are just trying to come up with new ideas, whether it's working together, like with this Beartown Market in a Box idea, or working with shops that might have regularly carried their work. I think people are just trying to build a body of work, right? If you have extra time, like Melissa said, it's about learning new things. So I, too, am taking online classes about, like, learning different techniques or learning more digital techniques that I might not be familiar with. Like, it's a, you know, it's to overuse the word of hunkering down, but it's like it's a time to learn a new skill or build a body of work or look at for different revenue streams using your art.
Yeah,
and Bruce Nelson has been sending me pictures of everything he's been working on over the last few months. He's been hunkered down in those flats, and I've been seeing some amazing things from him too. It's definitely, you know, if you can hunker down and not don't have to work you know, at your regular job, this is definitely a productive time if you're an artist.
Well, and then Sarah put together a coloring book that has, you know, two coloring books featuring a variety of local artists. So, again, kudos to you, Sarah, for, like, entrepreneurial.
Oh. Well, and the Arts Council took up the coloring books, it sounds like, and they have a few artists that they're working with for their summer some arts programs that they're putting kind of like the idea that Natasha has with the Beartown Market. They're putting boxes together for their some arts program this year.
Right, and they've included some of the coloring book pages that Sarah sort of gathered from around town.
So. Yeah. I'm assuming as part of your business plan when you first went into the deal, it was here's my expenses for the month, and we're going to be able to make this work if we're able to generate this much income. And now your whole income picture has probably changed significantly. How do you take the business plan and rewrite the thing totally? I mean, how do you do it to keep yourself afloat until business returns to normal? And then does business return to normal, or is it going to get better because now you're on a different platform too?
Mm-hmm. I think in time business will be better because of all of this, because it's forcing us to retool, forcing us to
make
go online.
Stronger.
Yeah. I know that the grants... various grants application, and they've been all different sizes. You know, I got one for under $1,000 from the American Booksellers Association, largely from James Patterson, which was lovely. But there's enough little pieces of financial security that are coming just in time in order to give, I think, small business time to retool. Especially this new city grant that's coming out and that we'll hear about at the end of the month. That, you know, if you can stretch a few months, can see you through while you're rebuilding your entire business plan. It gives me hope that there have been multiple ways to try to, you know, keep things going in these hardest months.
Both of you are business people. You know, this is a common concern among the teachers with small kids who are back at home teaching and trying to take care of your kids. And here are your two business people. Natasha, I'm going to...
She's out of the nest.
Yeah, she's out. She's flat. She's flat. I mean, how do you guys continue to, you know, keep trying to operate a business and accommodate yourself to these new... Yeah, I mean, because you're online learning things and looking for different ways to do things. And this grant process takes up a lot of time, too, sometimes. Mm-hmm. How do you manage?
I'd say the hardest thing for me is I'm already on my phone quite a bit and the computer quite a bit. But with, like Melissa was saying, with the new internet orders and having to be available through multiple channels of communication, I am attached to my phone at all times. And it concerns me because my daughter sees that, and it becomes part of her, you know, idea of what's normal. And I always tell her this is a tool. It's not a toy. Like, I'm using it for my work. And that's why I'm on the phone all the time. And when she's here at work with me every day, when I'm at work, she has to wear a mask. She has to be aware that if somebody comes into the comes into the showroom, she needs to go in back, and or she needs to have her mask on if she goes up front to use the bathroom. And we have a lot of iPad time because I'm working by myself, you know, with customers when they come here, and then I'm here late at night working to get our orders fulfilled. Hopefully that's what I'm doing, because that means we're bringing in money. So it's been a struggle, but it's also been really fulfilling in a way, because we have never been closer than we are right now.
While you're on the phone and the iPad, yeah.
I know. Well, we have to communicate really well. And she's 8, so I'm, like, Melissa has younger children, and that is its own set of, I mean, you're more wrangling at that time, at their ages, I think, than communicating. But, you know, I feel very lucky that she's old enough, she's responsible, she helps at the shop, she helps sweep. We have a set list of chores that she's supposed to do when she comes in before she can get on her iPad. But there's so much screen time right now. That's my concern. Like, to make this work, that's kind of where we're at. And I'm trying to, like, add different things in as I go, writing letters to family, keeping a journal. But it's hard.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing your screen time with us this morning, too. appreciate it. So how are you managing the wrangling?
Yeah, and wrangling is what it is, because I will, yeah, they'll start doing laps around the shop, and it's just like, okay, this is untenable.
Favorite thing to do is run in circles.
Oh, my goodness. So to bear my soul to the community, I decided that I would pay an employee, and I would forego paying myself, because with a 4-year-old, no customer would want to come in and shop. So, but I'm trying to just limp through until, you know, there are more options for childcare and, you know.
Yeah. So, Sarah, where are you at in terms of, like, sales? I mean, I don't want to get into real particulars, but you've been open a little bit.
Like, right? Comparatively?
Yeah.
So, filling out the grant application for the city, doing the math. Last year we had a Coast Guard shutdown at the same time. So it's kind of hard to say last year I made more money. Like, we had a slowdown last year at the same time. So I actually had to look back to the year before and the year before that, and I mean, our sales are down for 2 months, $30,000. So, I mean, for me, that's huge. We live on a shoestring budget. So, luckily, we had a lot of in-stock materials, which carried us through. And we're just asking our customers to choose from what we have in stock, so we didn't have to make as many orders. And we couldn't make orders because our distributors were shut down. So if we did not have such a good, like, we had ordered right before this happened, and I made sure I had a bunch of glass just in preparation for Crabfest. If I hadn't done that, we would be in a totally different situation right now.
So you're ready for Crabfest in August?
I think so. I did in enjoy having my tent out at my business for the little soft opening. That was fun, but I miss Crab Fest. I want Crab Fest back.
Yeah. No, I guess from what, when you started to slowly open, are revenues starting to increase? Are you seeing more traffic and getting more revenue through the door? I know that you went to this online thing. Are you seeing an increase in the online traffic as well?
We saw a bump in April when we were still kind of shut down. Right this month, we haven't seen too much activity on our website, but I'm just keeping, like, we have Facebook ads that we just kind of keep the idea of the website in people's minds, so when they're ready to make purchases, they think about it. So I think around Christmas time, that would be a better time to assess, like, our internet sales. But compared to last year, definitely way slower. But like I said, we have kind of that Coast Guard transfer season when people are purchasing for their houses when they move, like their Alaska-themed art that they want to take with them. So that kind of helped us through this period.
So for both of you, is there an advantage to online, to having an online presence? Or are you seeing that's a long-term supplement to what you do?
I think that's always a good thing.
An advantage for a person to go to your online store first before they even go into the store?
Melissa?
For the bookshop, I think there definitely is, because any book is available on the online store because it can source from the warehouses across the nation. You know, I'm doing more hand selling of books, matching books to personalities and their interest level in the shop, brick and mortar shop. When people know what they want, they'll either call me or they'll just go directly to the site. And they also like that it's delivered right to their home with minimal touch, you know, just only touched at the warehouse and then arrives at their door.
Isn't the fun part about a bookstore, though, just sort of wandering around and mm-hmm. discovering?
Oh, and that's the, yeah, a lot of people love that. And I think that's why I'm trying to keep it afloat for our town. By this point, when people want a certain book, I think they're comfortable going online and ordering that from a small independent bookshop instead of Amazon. I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people call me and they say, you know, what's your profit margin on this? What's it better if I order it from
they
you directly
really do
in the
ask
shop?
That?
Yeah, again and again and again.
Really?
They want to make sure that when they go to the bookshop's website and order online, that I'm still making enough from that. Or is there a different way? And it's like, no, that's the very best way right now for a special ordered book.
Great.
Well, and I think even Sarah's shop, to go online, you can see all the colors, you can see the variety. You know, it might inspire somebody who might not come into a particular shop to be able to see, like, oh, that's what they do there.
I just get confused sometimes, you know? When you go in there and there's too many choices, that it takes forever to come up with an answer.
Well, and if you go
we can help you with
shop,
that.
Yeah.
We can help you with that.
And our online shop has a little chat button, so you're actually chatting directly with me if you hit the chat button on
really?
There.
Really?
Yeah. While she's out hiking, you can chat with her.
Are you kidding me? That's what they have the people in different countries for, that you get on the chat line, right? I mean, you're actually the online chat person?
Yeah, we do it all here. I online chat, I Instagram, I Facebook, I create an online
Do you do that
shop.
Too?
Oh, yeah, and we're not really joking about the answering chat while on a hike.
Oh, my God.
Right now, I'm just so grateful for a sale. It's like, yeah, sure, talk to me.
Oh, my Lord.
Exactly.
What a world we live
in. You know, I just want to say, before this conversation ends, that our community has gone above and beyond supporting us. Like, it's been a horrible and hard few months, but to see the way that they have supported us during this, the frame shop and other businesses like Melissa's and Natasha, and it made me re-understand why I love living here. I didn't say that the best way I could, but it's been amazing seeing that support for us.
I have to agree.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great community, you know, and people like you are what makes it what it is. Let's close with one more. Beartown Market, how do you get in on the list if you aren't already there, and when's your deadline? I mean, it sounds like you're selling pretty fast.
We are. So it's the Kodiak Arts Council website, which is kodiakarts.org. And that's where you can purchase the Beartown in box.
And it costs how much money?
$40.
Wow.
And
that's a great price.
It's a great price. There's a lot of goodies in there. You can choose to purchase shipping if it needs to go off island, but then it'll be curbside pickup Saturday at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium doors.
So somebody that's got relatives and friends that, you know, would be coming up here and you wanted to give them a nice gift,
this is the box.
Buy a box, send it off. You don't have to do a whole lot.
They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
We'll ship it for them.
And does it have stories about all of the artists in the box?
It's got an insert that's going to tell you about Beartown Market, about the Kodiak Arts Council, and about the individual artists and crafters that have their work included in the box.
That's awesome.
And one box will have a heart-shaped rock from a Spruce Cape.
Nice. Just one box.
Just one box.
That's the heaviest one.
Yeah. Hey, man, flat rate.
And your plans for expanding that? I mean, do you anticipate that if the demand is there for the 40 boxes and you get 70 orders or something?
So it's limited edition. When we sell out, we sell out. And we hope to do it again next month. We hope to do it, you
That's
know,
what I what I mean is next month, if you're successful selling 40, are you looking at, well, let's do 80 next month?
I don't know yet. We'll have to gather the artists and makers. So it's also about how much quality work people can produce, right? To put in a box.
Yeah.
So.
And also, it's not a bad thing to have a limited amount, you know, that creates demand.
Okay, Melissa, when again are the limited hours that you're open for business now?
I'm switching them, I think. So Wednesday from 10 to 12 will be that mask only and very limited entry shopping. And then open till 4 normally, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm thinking of expanding from 11 to 6 on Saturday and 12 to 4 on Sunday. It seems like we get a really nice crowd that just wants to hang out in the shop and browse books on the weekends.
So the website, are you doing most of your posting about this on social media? How do you let people know when you're open and when you've changed and that kind of thing?
That's part of what the marketing class is teaching me, that I need to email folks because there is a lot of confusion about which businesses are open, which hours. So I'm starting to learn how to write, you know, not the kind of emails that people want to unsubscribe from.
Yeah, right. But,
like, that's key. But I posted on social media now, and hopefully next month I'll start being brave enough to send emails that people enjoy reading.
Cool. And frame shopper? When are people frame shopping?
So frame shopping, we're going to change our hours during the week to 11 to 6, Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturday is 11 to 5. And you can book appointments on our website at theframeshopak.com. The book appointment for shopping, custom framing, or art pickup if you want us to pick up some artwork for you. Or that can be an art drop-off, too. We can drop off artwork within town, because it's just me doing the dropping off.
What does that mean?
So,
does that mean if somebody has a picture in there that they want to get framed, that you come and pick it up for them?
I will come pick it up, and then we can do a Zoom meeting teleconference for framing. We do a lot of remote framing for people in the villages, and usually it's texting. we give them, like, we text options to them, and they say, I like this, and I don't like that, and then we kind of adjust. And then we can also FaceTime, which is a good way to visualize, help visualize.
Do you actually have a life?
I mean, not really. This is my life.
Yeah.
We have a garden in the back of our shop now, actually, because I'm here so often. We grow some veggies in the back now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear anything about Sunday hours. So there's got to be one.
Well, I was just contemplating that because that might be a good time for us to have a maskless shopping.
Sarah, take a break. Take a break. You have to have a life. You know? Hey, well, I would just like to say thank you all. You know, it's been a really engaging, fun discussion. So I know you're all doing the best you possibly can, and you're doing more than I think most people could even consider. It's an unfortunate situation we find ourselves in, but we find creative and new ways to sort of connect with the community and get the community involved. And I think the community is pretty appreciative of all the things that you're doing.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Zodiac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the opportunity.
Have a splendid day. Enjoy the sunshine.
You too.
Okay.